Serena Williams returned to the courts on Tuesday with an early win in the French Open. You heard the match point there, courtesy of RolandGarros.com. It was her first Grand Slam match since taking time off for the birth of her daughter last September. And she made her return wearing a sleek black bodysuit and sparking a flurry of online comments.
All the moms out there that had a tough pregnancy and had to come back and try to be fierce, so in the middle of, you know, everything. So that's what this represents, and it's exciting. And, you know, I think the cat suit is, you can't beat a cat suit, right?
Serena speaking to the Tennis Channel there, and Williams has been vocal about her difficult pregnancy. She underwent an emergency C-section and was bedridden for 6 weeks after giving birth to her daughter. And despite holding 23 major singles titles, going on maternity leave means that Serena Williams entered the French Open unseeded. Her comeback has put a spotlight on the Women's Tennis Association policy on maternity leave and rankings, and if it should be changed. Amira Rose Davis is co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast, and she's also an assistant professor of history at Penn State. Hey, Amira.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
So tell me about this rule, I guess, and how is it that Serena, one of the best tennis players ever, ends up unseeded?
Yeah, so essentially there's a very kind of vague policy in place for the WTA regarding maternity leave. To date, essentially what it is it gives a protected status so that players returning from maternity leave, similar to players returning from injury, can have what they call a protected rank. They can enter tournaments. They can enter. They're protected for 8 different events over the course of a year. However, it does not have a provision for seeding, which means somebody like Serena Williams, who left, stepped away from tennis when she got pregnant. She left as the world's number one, came back, and we saw her, for instance, a few months ago at the Miami Open, was ranked 491. And so the conversation is really happening around what to do about seeding, what to do about ranks for tournaments.
Now, the basis of this is what? That an injury is similar to, are they sort of keeping injury and pregnancy and childbirth in the same sphere, if you will, and assuming that people are just not strong enough to come back, and therefore the seeding is what it is?
Right. Well, essentially, the basis was that this wasn't an issue for many years that they had to consider. It was relatively rare for players to have kids in the prime of their career. But now players are starting families or thinking about starting families. They're playing into a later age. And so this concern is being spotlighted not by just by Serena Williams, but other great players like Victoria Azarenka. And so essentially, it was just the modification of an injury policy. It wasn't considered. What do we do with maternity leave wasn't certainly the question. It was like, okay, how can we treat an absence from the sport? And so now, because of the spotlight and because of this conversation, what the WTA Players Council, for instance, wants to do is say, how about we sit down and have an actual conversation about what a robust maternity leave policy would be and how it's different than coming back from, say, a knee injury. And I think one of the things where you've seen this change already is like the schedule of return, because sometimes returning from injury has a certain timetable, but pregnancy and childbirth and then the after effects of that don't necessarily map on to a neatly defined schedule. So schedule of return, rankings, these are the things that will come up in conversation based on indications from the Players Council over the next year.
I'm with Amira Rose Davis of the Burn It All Down podcast. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking Serena Williams, her post-baby comeback, and what it reveals about maternity leave policies in sports and beyond. Amira, there have been other players, Victoria Azarenka and Kim Clijsters, who have come back to the game after having a baby. Have they also had to deal with this? Have they been public about their concerns about this?
Yes, and Azarenka has been particularly public about this as well. She also sits on the Players' Council. And in these issues with them as well, there's a situation where after birth, Azarenka was able to return, but then had to deal with a long custody battle. And so they have been public, and now there is some players who say, okay, we don't need to think about rankings. Like, it takes the rank spot away from another person who's worked equally as hard. But I think there's generally a movement and a push to say, hey, we need to at least go back to the drawing board with this. And so Azarenka, I think, has been right there with Serena leading the charge. And I think it's also really important to remember that it's shining a light on this issue, but this is a policy that would be in the benefit of most women on the WTA. And Azarenka has been particularly vocal about saying this is not just about me or Serena as superstars, but this is about the fact that current policy actually dissuades people from wanting to start families. It actually dissuades women from being able to think about starting a family.
Why
or
is
what
that,
to do
though? Can you give us a sense for why that is? Is it because they get seated at the very bottom, at the back of the line?
Yeah, precisely, because it's almost seen as a penalty. So if you are to have a baby, you know that you're going to come back and have to work from the bottom. Getting a lower seed means you're picking draws in the tournaments in which you're going to be facing top-ranked players much sooner. We saw this with Serena at 491 playing Naomi Osaka, or meeting Venus at Indian Wells in the third round, which is like one of their earliest meetings. And so it's the idea that the way it's currently set up is actually penalizing women who have children.
Now, what about other women's sports outside of tennis? Are there similar conversations happening?
Yeah, so one of the things in tennis that makes it particularly hard versus, say, soccer, we've seen soccer moms on the U.S. Women's soccer team, Sid LaRue, Amy Rodriguez, for instance, is that the WTA considers women's tennis players independent contractors. So one of the advantages that, say, soccer or basketball have is that the players are unionized and can collectively try to bargain and push for these large-scale maternity policies. And with tennis, we're seeing that the kind of labor issue of being seen as independent contractors is one of the things that has stunted the development of a robust policy in this respect.
Amira Rose Davis is an assistant professor of history at Penn State and the co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast and a good friend of The Takeaway. Amira, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thank you.